The following show is closed captioned for the reality impaired. The Jerry Bader Show.
WTAQ News Talk Sports. So I found out the key to improving my golf game. I can't have Jason around. Actually, the way it worked out on Golf League yesterday, I golfed by myself. Besides the good news that I got through the round much faster, I crushed the ball with the fairway woods, which I normally can never do. And here's what it is. I have anxiety issues when it comes to people watching me golf. I need to get over this because the course was wide open. And the only, well, this isn't true. One of the bad tee shots that I had, but I had like three beautiful tee shots in a row. These guys let me play through. So all four were standing there watching me. I tanked it. I just somehow have to get past that. I just do. But it may have been one of the most glorious days. People are still, boy, it's a cool summer. Boy, it's a cool summer. It was literally glorious weather-wise out there. It was just an absolutely beautiful, because I had a debate. No one else showed up. So I was, you know, folks out at Ledgeview, well, what do you want to do? I'm going out. I could have gone home. But it's like, I'm going out. I still, you know, set a land speed record. Because I decided to be lazy and take a cart. See, so here's the answer. I need to get rich enough to afford my own golf course where I can play on my own. And then my score wasn't great, don't get me wrong. My putting still stinks. I will, on a par four, this is the first time in my life, and I'm 53 years old, I was on in two. I was on in regulation on a par four. It has never happened before. So what do you think happened? Do you think I got the birdie? No. Do you think I got the par? No. Not a double bogey, Mallory. Boy, you're really a bogey. I three putted. Although Mallory, her prediction wasn't a bad one. I'm going to be honest. All right, coming up, and this has developed very late in the show to the point where I didn't even have it in my 7:45 tease. As you know, the 6th Congressional District Republican primary results still very much up in the air. The election night apparent winner, Glenn Grothman, by a scant 214 votes out of some 60,000 cast, will join us at 9:06, but far from resolved is that race. State Senator Joe Lightbaum of Sheboygan certainly going to request a recall once the official canvass and certification of the vote and all of that is done. But Glenn will join us at 9:06. Bunch of other stuff to get to. It may have even happened. I haven't been able to check. They were going to release the name of the officer involved in the shooting in Ferguson. We're going to throw that out to you. It's happening right now, in fact. We're not going to grab the audio, but it's happening right now, and I believe they are releasing the name right now. Should they do that? And what do you think of the way, okay, things have quieted down in Ferguson, but has it been handled correctly the way the State Patrol has basically taken over for the local police down there? And have they bent to those who would perpetrate the violence? I think these are all important questions. We're going to get to those later in the show. We haven't gotten to the Hillary, President Obama thing all week. I know other shows have spent a lot of time on it. I do want to get to that as well. Just a lot of stuff to try to get to in the show today. Want to start with a couple of things, though. There has been an on-again, off-again issue in Appleton that's on again. The way that I want to present this is that it's an it's very likely a be careful what you wish for moment for some residents in Appleton. Like many communities, but this has really developed into a contentious issue in Appleton. Our assessments, and we've taken this topic up several times on the show in the past, in many communities, special assessments for street repair on streets that abut your house, your property. The way most communities do that is you, as the property owner, pick up a pretty big chunk of that because the belief system is you use it more than the rest of the public. And we got into the dynamics of this. How, well, it depends. On the sleepy little street on which I live, which is kind of like a cul-de-sac, but it isn't, because it does go through. Think of a broken cul-de-sac. We kind of live on a broken cul-de-sac, where it actually does empty out. One of those, there are a couple of those around, where you would just end up circling back type sort of thing. But there is an outlet. Very, very few of the cars that use that don't live there. If we see a car go through, you know what that means? They're lost. And then they get all hacked off. They find out they're going to double back and all of that. Very, very. So you could make the case that a property owner on that block, it is more justified in paying more of it. However, the case that people tend to make, they have identified the officer, by the way. CNN is blaring his name. Darren Wilson. Why should I have an embargo on it when the whole world now knows that his name is Darren Wilson in the Ferguson shooting? Should they have done that? We'll get to that later in the show. In just a few minutes. It's on Wikipedia. The Wikipedia entry for the shooting already has Darren Wilson's name on there. They just released it. So they had someone sitting waiting. Okay, back to the assessment story. So what you have is on busier streets where residents live, they're like, well, this isn't fair. Why should we pay so much of this? Okay. It's a tough issue. Some folks in Appleton who felt, look, this is just onerous, and it can be. Even though cities usually offer multi-year payment plans, it could be thousands of dollars. So residents went to City Hall and said, look, this is just too much. We need to change the way you pay for these street repairs. It's too much on the individual property owner. So what they propose is a wheel tax of $20 for vehicles under, I believe it's 8,000 pounds, which excludes, you know, trucks and larger vehicles. Some, and look, and I get this, some homeowners get hit with a $10,000 special assessment. Well, it wasn't deemed as fair to spread this across the property tax. So, well, let's look, everyone who registers a vehicle in the city of Appleton uses Appleton City streets at one point or another. So let's put a $20 per vehicle wheel tax. It seemed as though this had gone away. And this week it's back, and now it looks like it's got momentum again, and Appleton's going to do this. It could raise $1.7 million. Right now, the city generates about $1.3 million on average from special assessments, according to Fox 11's story on this. The wheel tax would apply only to vehicles weighing less. I think I screwed up and said more. Less than 8,000 pounds. That leaves out large trucks and semis. The plan is it would start next year. So residents would have to pay less in special assessments. Try to take the burden off the property owner. Here is where I would caution Appleton residents, and this is why I oppose this plan. And I think Appleton residents are nuts if they walk into this smiling and think the city is giving them something. Here's the problem. Unless there is a guarantee on how high a cap, that because we're implementing a wheel tax, special assessments will never be more than XXX. If you don't build in something that says this is an offset, this goes down because this is going up or this is being created, you're going to get it both barrels. Ultimately, assessments will start creeping back up unless there's, because this is what city government does. This is what all governments do. You give them this opportunity to leave that in place. This is why when Governor Scott Walker talked about getting rid of the state income tax, I absolutely reject that proposal. You know, without a constitutional amendment, that it's gone. Because you shift it to some type of consumption tax, some type of sales tax. Well, then the more you consume, the more taxes you pay. That seems fair. But then you need to have a constitutional guarantee that the income tax can never come back. Because what they will do, and I'm not talking about Scott Walker and Republicans, but they're not going to have control forever. And if they leave a mechanism where Democrats can come back in, oh, well, we've raised the sales tax to 12-13% or whatever. Now let's bring the income tax back. Even with this guarantee, I'm not saying I like this idea, but without this guarantee, the residents of Appleton are out of their minds if they think they're getting a gift from the city here. And I am one that has gotten socked with a pretty steep special assessment in my time. Not in the house I currently own, but the previous house. My wife and I lived on a corner lot in Sheboygan, and they did curb work. I would probably get it wrong. So I won't guess, but I won't. It was thousands. I have a number in my head. I think it was, and this is like 20 years ago. It would be crazy today. I do know that these things can hit homeowners really hard. I get that. And the reason this goes beyond an Appleton story is, and these ideas seem to catch on, then you're going to have someone in Green Bay, Oshkosh, wherever. Well, yeah, I got drilled really hard too. That's, you know, I can't handle that. We should do that here too. Unless there is an ironclad mechanism, you're nuts. An ironclad mechanism to make sure they can't double dip on this. I don't have the audio from this, but Wisconsin Media Check, wismediacheck.com, has an analysis of something from earlier this week. As you know, they root out media bias, particularly in television, newspaper too, in the area. Listen to this one. Bias by, huh? Every once in a while, we have to create a new bias category, they write. Bias by, huh? Goes to NBC 26 for its very bizarre statement in its 5 p.m. coverage of Governor Walker casting his ballot in the partisan primary election Tuesday. Now, as you know, you can't cross over. If you, in the primary, if you vote Republican in one race, you have to vote Republican in all race. If you vote Democrat in one race, you have to vote Democrat. You're done. You can't pick and choose. Now, I like what they write here. We suspect this statement was put in the teleprompter as a joke, and the unknowing anchor just read it. If it wasn't a joke, the credibility of this station should be questioned. Governor, here's the anchor. Here's what the anchor said. Governor Walker cast his ballot this morning in the primary. He went to his local polling place in his hometown of Wauwatosa to vote. It is unclear who he voted for in the Democratic primary for governor. Walker is seeking a second term in office in the November election. His biggest challenger, Mary Burke, is expected to vote this evening. It's unclear who he voted for in the Democratic primary for governor. And again, maybe this was a joke. You hope that it was. As WIS Media Check points out, Wisconsin Media Check, chances are pretty good that Governor Walker voted on the Republican ticket. And he voted for himself, even though he was unopposed on the ballot. What reason is there to assume he crossed over and voted on the Democrats' ticket? None. All right. I actually don't think this is bias. Not the way you usually think of it. And I've warned you, sometimes that which appears to be a bias is just rank incompetence. And apparently I would not be surprised if someone in a TV newsroom didn't understand how Wisconsin's primary works. And we talk about this, and we talk about this, and I lectured on Election Day and before. Wisconsin has a primary process. And apparently even some broadcast journalists don't understand this. You can only vote in one party. This is why a lot of Republicans were able to cross over and vote for Sheriff David Clark in Milwaukee County. There was no pressing primary for many of them. The only exception would have been those in the northern reaches of the Milwaukee area who live in the 6th Congressional District. They had, of course, a very contentious primary for the Republican nomination to replace Tom Petri. They didn't have that luxury. But if you didn't have an important race, you could cross over, but then you can't go back. Speaking of that race, Glenn Grothman joins us at 9:06, and the officer in the Ferguson shooting has been named. Should he have been? It's 8:57.